Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
AM and DFS Degen Nation. It is Christmas weekend.
Wrong podcast.
Yeah. I caught myself as I did it. Normally try to think about it before I do it. But anyways, we are on to week 16, which means we have a full weekend of DFS upon us because we have the 3-game slate on Saturday, or 2-game slate, excuse me. And then we have the 9-game main slate on Sunday. And then we get the beautiful 3-game slate on Monday. So we're losing a lot of money this weekend. So anyways, today Maddie is on, he is out of town. So he is on his phone. So if his audio isn't quite as good as it normally is, it's not a big deal. So that being said, let's just get right into it, Maddie. So we got kind of an interesting slate this week. We had the one game up top, the Dallas-Miami game, that really profiles as probably the best game on the slate, but I think there's a lot of other really interesting ways you can go to get a little bit different off that game, because that's going to be the game that I think a lot of people are going to want to target. And, but it's kind of weird because with pricing this week, like a running back, the most expensive running back we have this week is $7,400. So that is kind of interesting. That's not something we typically see without Christian McCaffrey and some other guys on this slate. But at the quarterback position, what are you looking to do this week?
Yeah, so there's one guy that I just want to go absolutely all in on, and that's Justin Fields at home against Arizona. This is one of the few games all year where the Bears have actually been favored. And I know he's priced up. He's 7.1K. He's the third highest priced QB on the slate. But we have finally, you know, gotten back to vintage Justin Fields. He's running the ball a ton. He had double-digit carries in 3 of his last 4. And last week when he didn't run as much, he threw the ball 40 times in a tough matchup against Cleveland. But if you watch the tape from the Cleveland game, there were some opportunities there for Fields to have a monster day. He had some receivers drop some wide open passes, and you know Mooney could have lucked into a touchdown there on the Hail Mary. So Fields could have had a really big day. I think his blow up game is coming, and I definitely don't want to miss it. He's one of the few QBs on the slate that can get you 40. So I really like Fields here. And that again gets you, like you said, off of that Dallas Miami game, which should be pretty popular. Outside of Fields though, if I was paying down, I would definitely target that Tampa Bay Jacksonville game. Baker has turned a corner this year, and has actually flashed somewhat of a ceiling, and he's only 6K against a very good matchup from the Jacksonville Jaguars pass D. The Jags run D has actually been solid this year, but you can throw all over them. So, and we've seen teams, you know, doing it over the last couple of weeks, including Joe Flacco. So, I really like Jacksonville and Tampa Bay. There's a lot of pieces to like from that game on both sides. Both passing attacks profile really well. I'm expecting Trevor Lawrence to play. He's priced a little bit more than Baker. And if I was going to play Lawrence, I'd probably just find the 500 to play Justin Fields. But that doesn't mean I don't like pieces from that game or from the Jacks side, because there are some cheap pieces that we can play there with Zay Jones unlikely to play and Christian Kirk already ruled out. So that funnels a lot more targets into Evan Ingram, and Ridley should continue to see a big role. Though I will say I'm curious how popular Ridley gets, because earlier this year when Zay Jones missed games, that's when Ridley had his down games. And that's because Zay Jones kind of runs a lot of go routes and takes away safety help. And Ridley can get more one-on-one coverage. So I'm interested to see what they do with Ridley this week. So if Ridley's actually going to be really popular, I actually don't mind just going to like Agnew and Ingram on that side and you know, kind of staying away from Ridley. Cause there definitely is a concern if Zay Jones is out that Ridley just plays the run the deep routes role and take away the safeties and let everybody else work underneath. So, but all in all, I like that game. Again, I like Justin Fields and obviously Dallas, Miami. That's pretty much where I'm going to live from a passing stack. And I mean, those are pretty much, we don't have many high totals, but those are pretty much the highest total games of the week. I mean, you could talk about Colts and Falcons, but I mean, good luck projecting those offenses. I mean, we finally think Bijan Robinson's going to get touches or Drake London's going to break out. And then, you know, they combined for like what, 9 opportunities last week. And I know it was a downpour game, but still it's not really, you know, those offenses are kind of tough to project, especially if the Colts are going to be without Pittman as well. And they could be getting JT back. So I guess the other game that's somewhat interesting would be Lions at Vikings. But, you know, we kind of mentioned this, you know, a couple of slates ago that the Vikings defense has actually been pretty good this year. And this is Detroit on the road. So I'm especially after the Lions exploded last week, I'm going to assume they're going to be really, really popular here. It's a 47.5 total. Lions are favored in like a 3.5 point spread. So definitely expect them to be popular. But yeah, I think it's Justin Fields or bust for me this week.
I love Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields is a really good play. A couple of notes of things that, one, we pretty much know CJ Stroud's not going to play. He hasn't practiced at all this week, still coming off the concussion, which is kind of a concern considering, you know, typically what we've seen this year is most players miss that first week and then they're ready to go the second week, and he's still not even close to ready. I mean, he hasn't even gotten into limited practice yet, so that is a big concern there for him. But also, Trevor Lawrence looks highly, highly unlikely that he's going to play either in this game. He has not practiced either of today or yesterday. And for the most part, you really want to see them practice either Wednesday or at least Thursday at a limited practice, because you have to get a limited and then you have to get a full in. And so at this point, it's going to be really tough for him to be able to play, for him to progress to that point. So it's looking like it's probably going to be CJ Beathard here and at quarterback in that game. And that's what worries me about playing someone like Calvin Ridley. I'm not saying he can't get there. I mean, CJ Beathard has like, I think he's like a functional backup quarterback. Like he's not like a complete trash can, but all at the same time, it makes me like this game less if you're not going to have Trevor Lawrence, because I don't know if like, is the Bucs going to be pushed to a point where they have to throw the ball that much, right? Without Trevor Lawrence. I mean, so that's the only thing that worries me with that game. And so I do with that. Also, you mentioned Michael Pittman. Michael Pittman has already been fully cleared. So he's 100% cleared. He's ready to go. He's going to be playing this weekend, no doubt, which is shocking to me with that hit. I mean, that was a brutal hit he took in that game.
Yeah, I thought there would be no shot that he plays for like weeks. That hit was disgusting.
Yeah, he's already been cleared. So he got out of full practice today.
It shows you how busy I've been this week and my lack of keeping up with injury reports. I didn't know Lawrence was that likely to be doubtful, and I didn't know, I had no clue Pittman was that likely to play. So that's definitely two huge notes there.
Yeah. So those guys do not look. And then on another one would be Nico Collins. He actually got back today. He practiced today as well, so that is a positive for that offense. But you know, I don't know how much excitement you're going to be with Case Keenum, though. Case Keenum, he was okay. I mean, he threw for, you know, what, 229 yards and a touchdown last week against the Titans. It's kind of a gross game, but, you know, I think overall, like, if you're not wanting to play, you know, the high-priced quarterback, I think where you could look is Nick Mullins, because he's $5,300, and Detroit's pass defense, especially the giving up the deep ball, is something they've really struggled with. Nick Mullins, you know, in his first start last week, completed. I mean, he was completed 78%, almost 79% of his passes, 303 yards, 2 scores. Last week, he also carried the ball 6 times in that game, only for 10 yards, but still, that was a positive to see. But so he is somebody that can get there. You know, he's shown a little bit of a ceiling there. And when you have Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson and Jordan Addison, here with in that offense. I mean, it makes him a lot more insulated from failure. And so I think Nick Mullins at $5,300 is a direction you could look. This is, like you already mentioned, that total is really good. I think this game has some serious shootout potential. The Vikings are still fighting for a playoff spot here. So it's kind of a must win for them. But then you also have Detroit on the other side, who has kind of like a really outside shot, I think, at winning the number one overall seed. But that's probably not likely. But regardless, you know, they're still wanting to position themselves, you know, to get as high of a seed as they can. Because if that happens, then, you know, obviously they can, you know, be at least a two seed and at least get a couple of home games here, depending on how this plays out. So I definitely think that, you know, that game has a lot of implications. Now, it is a divisional game, so that always worries you. But I do think Nick Mullins, if you're wanting to pay down, there's going to be a lot of excitement for Joe Flacco because he just continues to do it. It would look like he was not going to have a good game last week. Really, through the first three quarters, he looked like Joe Flacco, who we expected him to be. And then, you know, Flacco magic all of a sudden came about after turning the ball over four times and threw for 374 yards and two scores for 22.86 DK points. He has now racked up over 20 DK points in back-to-back weeks. He's still only 5,500 against Houston. But the Houston pass defense is a lot better than I think people give it credit for. And so I'm not really all that excited to play Joe Flacco. Maybe I'd rather play like a David Njoku or Amari Cooper. But I think that he is somebody that's going to gain some steam this week. But other than that, like, I think really where I want to focus is that Detroit-Minnesota game, and then either as well as the Chicago-Arizona and then Dallas and Miami. And I think those are the three games that I think carry the most excitement. I don't hate it. Like, if you wanted to go Kyler Murray to get a little bit different, because I don't think he's going to carry any ownership whatsoever from that same game. I think you could do that as well. I'd like this game a little more if it's in Arizona, but it's in Chicago. But other than that, like, nothing else really stands out to me. I have to remember, it's only a 9-game slate, so it is a little bit smaller than what we typically see, especially this time of the year. But with all the other games, it kind of, like, limits this game. So there's not a ton of other games that I'm really excited about. Like, I'm not excited about Washington and the Jets. I think the Colts and the Falcons could be a spot, but I think that's more of a mini stack for me. Not really a spot that I really want to go look to game stack all that much. I think, you know, if you want to go with a, you know, something like a Pittman and Kyle Pitts or something like that or whatever, or London, I think you could do that. But that's kind of or a one-off spots there. I think that's the way I would look to target it. But other than that, there's not a lot of other quarterbacks that I really have a lot of excitement for. But I did want to ask you, since we're talking about this Miami game, you know, we kind of glazed over it, but what quarterback would you prefer to play? They're pretty much identical. Dak Prescott, 7,900, Tua, 7,800. Which one would you want to play? Or who would you prioritize?
Dak, 100%.
So you're not concerned with the road Dak narrative?
No, it's for me. If Dallas is going to score, they've shown this year that it's going to be through the air. Whereas Miami continues to just set the world on fire with rushing touchdowns. Like the Dolphins are like the Rams, right? Like when they get in close, they just run the ball over and over and over again, and that's why. You know, I mean, and they're good at it. Like that's why, you know, Mostert's leading the NFL with touchdowns. And it's, you know, they have Achane also. And Tyreek, you know, even if Tyreek plays, I'm just not – I know he's going for that 2K record. I just worry about his inability to cut left and right, which they said was his issue last week. And so if he's in there from a straight line speed perspective, I mean, obviously that helps Waddle underneath. I would just play Waddle as the one-off or one of the running backs, or just like game stack it without Tyreek, you know, like play like Dak with, you could even stack Dak with Pollard because Pollard's looking better and he's obviously got a pass game role as well, but you can play Dak, Lamb, Pollard, Ferguson, Cooks, and then run it back with Waller, with Waddle and one of the Miami running backs as well. I think if you're going to stack that game, everybody's priced up so high that you just go all in on it, because with how priced up everybody is, you need like a 38-35 type of game for that game to really pay off on from a salary perspective. Whereas a lot of these other guys that we're talking about are much cheaper or have a ton of rushing upside and can get there without points being put up on the board. So I would definitely go with the Dak side if picking one of the two.
All right, let's go ahead and move over to the skipping running backs. Let's go ahead and move over to the running backs. I think there's a lot left to talk about when it comes to quarterbacks. And let's move on here. Like I said, I mean, you have the highest price running back at $7,400, which is just going to create like a, I think, an interesting dichotomy here with how this is going to play out. Because typically, you know, you see, you know, you have Christian McCaffrey, you know, at the 9K range, and you have some 8K running backs and even some high 7K running back. I mean, the most expensive is Rashad White at $7,400. You have Mostert at 73, Jonathan Taylor at 72, and Devon Achane and Gibbs at 71 and 7K. And then the 6K range, you have Monty, Derrick Henry, Pollard, Etienne, Zach Moss, Aaron Jones, Bijan Robinson, Kenneth Walker, Breece Hall, and Brian Robinson looks to possibly be returning this week after he got a limited practice in today as well. So I think when you look at this situation here, I think when you look at some of these options, I think one that stands out to you, or at least should in the middle range, is going to be Ty Chandler, because Alexander Mattison is likely not going to play. He missed practice again today, but and Ty Chandler is $5,600. But what are you looking to do here with this position? Especially, I mean, most of the year it's been, hey, let's pay down at running back. We don't need to pay up. But there's not really like a real pay-up option.
Yeah, but even though there's not really a pay-up option, there's also nobody that's going to score 30-plus, I don't think, on this slate. It's like Rashad White's probably the guy that gets closest, and he's 74. But, I mean, even then, like, his ceiling games are, like, 25. So it's – I just have a tough time paying 74 if I'm going to get 24 points from a guy when I can pay 5,600 for Ty Chandler and get, you know, 18. You know, I really like your call of Ty Chandler. I'm going to – that's the range I'm going to live in is Ty Chandler, and right $100 above him is Chuba Hubbard. Against Green Bay, that's one of the best rushing matchups we have on the board is against Green Bay. So Chuba has taken over as the every down back there. He's getting, you know, 25 to 30 opportunities every single game over the last month, and I don't see that stopping now. So I really like Chuba at 5,700 a lot, and then Breece Hall is another one at 6,100 against the Jets. Or I'm sorry, against Washington. He plays on the Jets. Breece has, even in games, like even if you were to project the Jets to be playing from in front, Breece Hall is getting 8 to 10 targets a game in games that they're winning by multiple scores. Like, he is just such a heavy part of that offense right now, even from a pass game perspective, that you don't even need him to score touchdowns, and he hasn't been scoring touchdowns. But he still definitely has a ceiling when he does get in the end zone. I mean, he scored in week 14 and got you 27 DK points. And he also had 8 catches for 86 yards. And that was a game that they won 30-6. So he had 9 targets in a game they won 30-6. Like, that should tell you that his receiving role is locked in. 6,100 at home against Washington. Sign me up for Breece Hall on that. And that's probably the highest I'll go, honestly. Like, yes, I like Bijan this week, and he's definitely got a ceiling. But, I mean, you look at Bijan's game logs throughout the year, and how many times have we said, you know, this is a good spot for Bijan, this is a good spot for Bijan. You know, if only Bijan gets the carries, this is a good spot for Bijan. And then he just doesn't get the work, or it doesn't work out. Like, his really good games have been like 19 or 20, and yeah, he flashed a 27 in there. But, I mean, most of his game logs, if you look throughout the year, are like 10 points, 12 points, 13 points. I'm not paying 6.3K for a guy that I'm just praying gets me 20. And calling that a good game. Like, if I'm paying that, I need to be pretty confident that that's what he's going to get me. And I just have more confidence that Breece Hall can get me there this week than Bijan can. But that's not to say he is a bad play, because I definitely think he is in play. But I just won't be going there myself. And then, obviously, I mentioned Tony Pollard. Pollard's a great way to get exposure to that game, highest total game of the week. If you're not playing Dak, you know, Pollard has finally looked explosive again. He's forcing a ton of missed tackles. It's always going to have pass game usage. He's going to be their goal line back as well. You know, the role is as good as it gets, 6,700 against Miami. The matchup's not great, but that's not to say he can't score on one of the best offenses in the NFL. So if you think that game goes back and forth, it's a good way to get some – go try to get some touchdown equity in that game.
Yeah, I think, though, so with Bijan, what makes him interesting is just because he's $6,300. And if you look at some of the – I mean, you had last week, which was the super weird, you know, where he only had 7 carries and 3 targets and scored 1.4, it fumbled. I mean, Arthur Smith, as we know, is a moron. Like, this isn't, to me, a Bijan Robinson problem. It's an Arthur Smith problem. But – because, I mean, we've seen some solid performances from Bijan Robinson. He had 27 a few weeks ago against New Orleans, where he actually, you know, they actually gave him 16 carries. He had 91 yards and a score on that one. He was targeted six times, 32 yards on that as well, plus a receiving touchdown. So at $6,300, like, he could get there for sure. And it could be kind of one of the keys to the slate. But I also understand there's also the flip side of that where Arthur Smith does Arthur Smith things and doesn't play him. And, or, you know, you get down to the red zone and all of a sudden Tyler Algier and Cordell Patterson are coming in and taking away opportunities there as well. So he is a super volatile player, but he can pay off at $6,300. Like, it's not a bad price tag for somebody like Bijan Robinson. So I do think that he is in play. In terms of some of the other options, one good news, Jonathan Taylor got in a full practice today, so he is going to be back. Zach Moss doesn't look like he's going to play, and so that is a positive there for him because he hasn't practiced yet this week. And so, I mean, this very well could be the Jonathan Taylor show here in this spot. And people should really not be shying away from this matchup because the Falcons have started to struggle recently against the run. Over the last four games, they've allowed the 10th most rushing yards per game, as well as the 10th highest explosive run rate. Obviously, that profiles very well for Jonathan Taylor, who is a super explosive runner. And so I do think if you're going to pay up, I think Jonathan Taylor, I mean, we know Jonathan Taylor could score 40. Like, he has that in his bag. And he might be one of the only few who actually have that this week that you could say that about. And especially if they're not going to have Zach Moss. I mean, are we worried about, you know, really worried about Trey Sermon and, you know, and stuff like that really coming in and taking a bunch of touches away? I mean, the Colts themselves are in this playoff battle as well. But Jonathan Taylor could end up, you know, kind of being that guy and against Atlanta this week. And so $7,200, Jonathan Taylor, I really do like that. I like this spot a lot better for Jahmyr Gibbs than I do David Montgomery. The Vikings have been one of the better run defenses in the league this year. They've done a really good job limiting opposing running backs. But if this is going to be a back-and-forth game, then I think that's where Jahmyr Gibbs comes in because he is a super, you know, super efficient runner, but also is the main guy in the passing game as well. I mean, somebody that can see six, seven, eight targets. So if you want to go there with Jahmyr Gibbs, he's 7K. I do like that as another option. I think Kenneth Walker is a sneaky play as well, $6,200, coming off one of his better games of the season in this matchup against the Titans. And you know, last week he rushed 19 times, 86 yards, but he handled 79% of the rush attempts. It was a little frustrating because he only handled 37% of the routes, but still, the Titans have been pretty middle of the road against the run. They're not, they're 14th. They've allowed the 14th most rushing yards with the 14th highest stuff rate over their last six games. And so I do think that somebody like Kenneth Walker, who this is probably the perfect game script for him, because you're not really all that concerned with the Titans being, you know, coming up and getting some big lead away from them. And so Kenneth Walker, I definitely think, is in play at his price at $6,200. You can look there as well. I completely agree with you with Chuba Hubbard with him. He is in a very good spot this week. If you look at him, I mean, over the last two games, he's handling 75% of the snaps, 64% of the rush attempts, 64% of the routes, and 10% target share. I mean, he's turning into a full-on bell cow right now, and you get a terrific matchup against the Packers, who the Packers have allowed the fourth most rushing yards per game, the sixth highest explosive run rate, and their seventh lowest in stuff rate, and the ninth highest yards after contact per attempt. So this is a really good spot for Chuba Hubbard, especially at his price. He's still only $5,700. He could be good leverage because I do think Ty Chandler, coming off that 25-point performance last week, could gain some steam. And if he does, then I think Chuba Hubbard could really be really solid leverage and arguably a better matchup because the Lions have still been pretty good. They are 10th fewest rushing yards per game, but they've allowed the 12th most rushing touchdowns to running back. So it's kind of they limit that, but then once you get down to the goal line, you can't score. So with him, I also think Devin Singletary is kind of an interesting target this week. We saw him last week go back to kind of being the workhorse last week, where he handled 75% of the snaps, 81% of the rush attempts with a 15% target share. So you know, if he can get this again, he is volatile. We've kind of seen this before where all of a sudden they'll switch back to Damian Pierce a little bit. But, I mean, he scored 21 DraftKings points last week. And so Devin Singletary, I think, at $5,500 is in play as well. A little bit more volatile. And then if Deonta Foreman doesn't play, he didn't practice today. Now, they said it's a personal reason. I don't know what that is. So he could be back in full practicing tomorrow. But if he wasn't he didn't play, Roschon Johnson at $4,800 becomes squarely in play. We kind of saw this before when once he left, where we saw all of a sudden Roschon Johnson handling a, you know, a pretty solid workload. Roschon has actually played pretty well, you know, recently, at being more efficient. Last week on just the five carries, he had 36 yards. He was also targeted six times for 24 yards. But in that game that we saw him a few weeks ago against Minnesota, I believe it was, where he had 10 for 35. He also was targeted five times for 40 yards. He played 70%+ of the snaps. So I definitely think that Roschon, if Deonta Foreman were to miss, I think he becomes, I think, a very interesting target of somebody you could look to target here in that backfield as well. So other than that, I think we've kind of talked about the guys. I think Tony Pollard has always been played just because of the high workload he sees. Aaron Jones, you might be able to make a case for, but the Panthers' run defense has actually been much better. I'm not going to allow you're going to hear people talk this week about, oh, man, the Panthers' run defense has been so bad. They haven't. As of recently, they've allowed the sixth fewest rushing yards, 11th lowest explosive run rate, the eighth highest stuff rate over the last six games. So this Panthers' defense has really started to clamp down on opposing running backs. Now, I will say if A.J. Dillon were to miss, though he did practice today, if he didn't play, we saw Aaron Jones handle 76% of the rush attempts and 11% target share last week. So you could look there, but I just think that's a little bit too thin, in my opinion, to get to Aaron Jones, who's still only playing 50% of the snap, but he's $6,400. But that being said, do you have any other running backs right here, or do you want to jump over to wide receivers?
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP Smart Side today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. I'm going to jump over.
All right. So here's where the situation always comes, and it's, do we pay the monster prices or do we try to live in the middle? And so Tyreek Hill is $9,600. It should be mentioned that he got in a limited practice today. I fully expect him to play 100%. Then you have CD at 92, and then you have a pretty significant drop-off down to Amon Ross St. Brown at $8,200. Justin Jefferson is still only $8,100. Then you have Jalen Waddle, Mike Evans, Michael Pittman in the 7K range. And then the 6K, you have DJ Moore, Nico Collins, DK Metcalf, Amari Cooper, Calvin Ridley, Chris Godwin, and DeAndre Hopkins and Jordan Addison kind of wrap up the 6K and above. So what is it that you're looking to do this week? Are you looking to pay up at all, or do you feel better about the 5K range? Because I know last week that kind of 5K range felt pretty gross.
Well, last week we locked in on the Packers value, you know, with Jaden Reed and guys like that, and that ended up paying off really well. And I think the Packers situation from last week is mirrored this week by Jacksonville. You know, with Zay Jones likely to be out, Christian Kirk obviously already ruled out. You know, we get Jamal Agnew, who you were all over in Showdown last week, and nobody played him, and he caught a bomb for a TD. I would assume Agnew plays the slot, and they push Parker Washington outside. Who else is on that depth chart that can play outside receiver for Jacksonville? Let's see. They've got obviously Ridley, Zay Jones, who we're saying is going to be out. Parker Washington, Agnew. I guess the other option would be Tim Jones. I mean, I guess he plays some outside. I mean, I just think Agnew is going to get a pretty big role here. I think it's going to be the Agnew and Evan Ingram show over the middle. And Tampa Bay has shown that they can't stop anybody. So, you know, I really like the Jacksonville cheap pieces. So I'm going to focus on getting them in and then building around them, which will also allow you to fit in more studs. And so for the studs, Amon Ross St. Brown is $8,200. That just feels too cheap for him. A guy that should probably be close to 9K in a good spot, you know, against a Minnesota pass defense that has been susceptible to receivers this year. And it is a division game. It is on the road, but it's, you know, Amon-Ra is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. So I just think he's underpriced. And like you said, at the QB position, that game's got a 47.5 total and should be one of the better total games of the week when it's all said and done. So I really like Amon-Ra. for the same reason I like the Jags game. I like Mike Evans on the other side. Even if the Bucs were to win that game without Jacksonville scoring, Tampa Bay is still going to roll through Mike Evans in that game. So Evans is a good bet to go for over 100 yards and a touchdown. I really like him a lot. DJ Moore, if I'm playing Justin Fields, I'm just playing DJ Moore with him at this point. Those two have a really, really big connection. And DJ Moore has flashed a monster ceiling pretty much the entire season. So 6,900, I think, is still too cheap for DJ Moore. I think DJ Moore should be priced 7.5K or higher. Metcalf has flashed a ceiling once or twice, but he's kind of similar to Bijan, right? Like, he's been getting you 12 to 15 points most weeks, and then he flashes a big game here or there. But I mean, outside of his 40-point game, he has only two games of 20 points, and then everything else is in the teens. But it is a good spot, 6,700 against Tennessee. You definitely have to have interest, but I definitely think there's also other places you can go. Not crossing him off the list, though. Garrett Wilson has been Mr. Consistent the entire year, despite there being terrible quarterback play. So even, you know, even though there's been bad QBs, Wilson continues to put up double-digit points on a weekly basis. He sees double-digit targets every week and now gets a home matchup against Washington. If you're not playing Breece Hall, I really like playing Garrett Wilson here, as those are the only two guys that touch the ball in that offense. And if and when they do score, because Washington gives up 30-plus points a game, so I do think there are some touchdowns to go around there. It should be one of those two guys. I mentioned when talking about Dak that you absolutely can play Brandon Cooks. He's under 5K again for the first time in 3 weeks. And we've seen him, you know, consistently score in the 15-point range, which at 4,900 definitely is not going to kill you. That's what Jaden Reed got you last week, and Jaden Reed was on winning teams. So you definitely need value plays somewhere. Cooks at 4,900 makes a ton of sense. JSN has finally broken out. But, I mean, even breaking out for him is, you know, scoring 14 points, like 4 for 48 and a touchdown. That's one of the highest scoring games he's had from a fantasy point perspective this year was last week. So JSN, obviously in a good spot against Tennessee, but he's definitely not a lock, but is definitely a good value as well. Down the list, I it's pretty much as cheap as I'm going to go outside of Jamal Agnew, which Agnew is $3,400. I really, really like Jamal Agnew this week. That is, I just think that's as close to a free square on this slate as we can get.
Yeah, it just worries me, like I said, without having Trevor Lawrence out there, it kind of worries me. And because then you also have Parker Washington's only $400 more if you wanted to pay down there. So I think for me, I totally agree with you with Amon-Ra St. Brown, him being in a really good spot. He sees a 27% target share this year against man coverage, or excuse me, against zone coverage. And the Vikings play their top 10 in zone coverage rate this year. And so that I think that's good for him. On the other side, Justin Jefferson, you have a little bit different here, but the Lions play the 12th highest in terms of man. And Justin Jefferson sees a nearly 40% target share against man coverage this year. So I do think that, you know, Justin Jefferson, especially somebody who's $8,100. I mean, we're talking about a player, if he doesn't get hurt early in this year. I mean, this was a player that was $95, $96, $9,700. $8,100 Justin Jefferson is incredibly too cheap. And so I just think with that situation, I mean, $8,100, he could smash this slate and be the guy that you wish that you had. And like I've already talked about with Detroit, they have really struggled stopping the deep ball this year. They have really given up their top 10 and the most. Over their last six games, they've allowed the most explosive plays on the season, or over the last six games. And so I just think Justin Jefferson is just too good of a spot. It's way too cheap. He is significantly cheaper than Tyreek Hill. He has the same ceiling as Tyreek Hill. He has the same ceiling as CeeDee Lamb.
Is J-Jeff Amon-Ra the best mini stack on the slate?
I think it might be. I think it really is. I just think both of these guys profile really well in this game. And so I have no problem going there. I definitely have no problems continually going back to DJ Moore. He didn't quite, you know, he didn't really get there last week, but he was still targeted 8 times. He has been fantastic with Justin Fields. He broke kind of the streak of 3 straight games, 20-plus DK points. But DJ Moore, still at $6,900, still too cheap for the role he has and the target share that he sees. Michael Pittman has continually just gets disrespected every week. There's no reason he should be $7,400 in my mind. He should be more expensive than that. He is not just one of the safest wide receivers. I think you can make the case he's kind of right there a little bit with Amon-Ra St. Brown. And he should be right in the same, probably right around the same area as him. They put up similar numbers this year. But he was well on his way last week, 4 for 78 in the first half. And before he just got his head taken off in that game, he would have had another monster game. So Michael Pittman at $7,400, I don't mind him whatsoever. Amari Cooper is starting to play a lot better as well the last 2 weeks. But last week he scored a touchdown, 23.9 DK points. Now you do have the narrative that Amari Cooper plays much worse on the road than he does at home, but he's still only $6,400, so I don't mind him whatsoever. Jaden Reed. So this Packers situation is one we're going to have to monitor. So Jaden Reed didn't practice today either, nor did Christian Watson. So if neither one of those guys were to play, Dontavian Wicks becomes a super interesting $4,300 play. Last week, he's targeted 7 times, 97 yards last week, or 15.7. He was 4K last week. But this is a player that Jordan Love has routinely looked for this year. This is the first time we've seen some pretty solid performances out of Dontavian Wicks. And if you're talking about they're going to be missing Christian Watson and they're going to be missing Jaden Reed possibly in this one, then Dontavian Wicks, I think, could see 10-plus targets here in this game. Romeo Doubs might be, I think he becomes a little bit more interesting too at $5,300. But I think if you're looking for a pay-down option at wide receiver, I think you could be looking in this Green Bay situation because of all the injuries they're dealing with at that position. Now, obviously, we still have one more day left with Jaden Reed. Maybe he gets practice in because he's been dealing with a lot of injuries. But he suffered that toe injury late in the game last week, and then he hasn't yet to practice so far this week. So I'll have to monitor that situation. And then the other one that you could look at, maybe this is a little bit thin. Maybe I'm going to keep chasing this, but Michael Wilson. $3,700. Marquise Brown looks like he's going to miss. He did not practice again today, so we'll have to check on that situation. But if he doesn't play as another kind of like run back option, obviously Trey McBride would be the guy that you're always going to want to target. But if you're wanting to run like a Kyler Murray stack, I think you could do that with Trey McBride and then as well as Michael Wilson. Because right now, I mean, it's kind of Greg Dortch as an option. And you have Rondale Moore, but Michael Wilson profiles as the outside wide receiver here. And $3,700, I think you could look there. I mean, he was only targeted 3 times. He had a red zone or an end zone target as well. Didn't really connect there in that game. But we've seen some spike weeks from him in the past. He is somebody that has been reliable or at least a decent source of fantasy production. So I do think Michael Wilson could be another spot you look at if you're wanting to get, kind of really cheap here at the wide receiver position as well. But I think other than that, like there's not a ton down here that really stands out to me outside of that. Brandon Cooks, $4,900. I think Dak missed him a couple of times last week where he could have had a much different day had Dak not missed him. I mean, he had one that he, if he would have hit him in stride, would have been a touchdown, a deep touchdown, but Dak missed him on. But Brandon Cooks, $4,900. He's always going to be in play, especially with that game. If you're wanting to play that game, I think Brandon Cooks is one that you look at. Now, one that's really thin is Josh Downs because he's done jack shit, right? He has done nothing really in a while. But the numbers say the way you beat the Falcons is on the inside, right, and through the slot. And they have done a really good job against outside wide receivers. It's been the slot that's really where you want to target them. And obviously we know that Josh Downs is still playing, about 60%+ of the snaps from the slot. He's $5,500. I'm kind of surprised that he's priced up this high, considering you have to go back to week 8, the last time that he had a double-digit performance. So I'm kind of surprised, especially when he was already down at 4,600 and only scored 4.9 DK points last week. But DK, I think, got a little smart here and priced him up.
Yeah, about time they priced him up.
Well, I mean, but to be honest, like, it's to me, it's like, I don't know, because like, I don't know if this was like, I don't know what caused the bump, because he's done nothing to earn the bump other than matchup.
Yeah. I mean, he's also just good, but I get it. I think the punter shanked the punt. I saw in the game log, the game feed, that he had an 8-yard punt, and then Derek Carr threw a 35-yard touchdown to A.T. Perry.
Hello. Oh, man. Hey, that helped. Hey, I'm breaking even right now. That's good.
Let's go. Love that.
That's all you can ask for when you don't have no DeMarcus Robinson. Did not play him on Showdown. So that's making a little bit of a game here. 30-22. So
yeah, one possession.
Yeah. Still 353 left. So anyways, all right. If there's no other wide receivers, like I don't think there's a whole lot else. Like I said, with this being a nine game slate, there's not a whole lot else that I really all that excited about. In terms of other than that, like if I'm paying up, like I'm still okay with paying for Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill can still break the slate. I think if he plays, like he's fine. But you have to really want it to get there. Like he has to break the slate for him to pay off at $9,600. He has to put up 40 plus fantasy DK points in my mind to really be in the optimal, be somebody that you regret not playing, for him to really kill you, in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'd just rather play Amon-Ra Jefferson. And the more I think about it, right, if I'm playing one of those, I think I'm just going to click the other one's name as well and play them together no matter what, if I'm playing one of them. Because, like, if Jefferson and Amon-Ra are having monster days, that means one of the guys on the other side is likely also having a monster day. Because we've seen Detroit kind of shy away from using Amon-Ra a ton when they're up by a lot. And the same for Minnesota, right? Like, unless they're trailing. I mean, yeah, Justin Jefferson will get his 8 to 10 targets. But, I mean, when they're trailing, Jefferson can see, like, 16 targets. So, if that game were to turn into a back and forth, I think it would be because of those two guys.
Like I said, you know, I'm talking about, I love Justin Jefferson this week. He's just incredibly too cheap for the ceiling that he provides. It'd be like getting Tyreek at $8,100. You know, we'd be going all in on Tyreek if he was that cheap. So I view Justin Jefferson in the same light. I get it that it's Nick Mullins and, you know, maybe you don't love the quarterback, but I mean, Nick Mullins, like I said, 300 yards passing last week. This isn't a matchup that I'm really afraid of either. Like I said, at all. And so it's really hard to get away from $8,100 Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
So other than that, let's go ahead and move over to tight ends. I don't think there's a whole lot left to talk about at the wide receivers. You have Sam Laporta at $6,400, and then a little bit of a drop off down to Hockenson down to $5,800, Trey McBride to $5,700, Evan Ingram's $54, Njoku's $53, and in the 4K range you have Justin Ferguson, Dalton Schultz, Kmet, and Kyle Pitts. And then in the 3K range, I'll have to monitor because Luke Musgrave, actually, they designated him for return. I don't know if he's going to play or not this week. I can't imagine he does. But if he does, he's 39. Kraft is 37. Logan Thomas is 35. Then you have Otten, Conklin, Okonkwo, and Farrell. That's 3K. Don't know why he's that expensive. Just figure like he should be $35 or $2,500. But here we are. Regardless of that. What are you looking to do at tight end? Are you just playing Trey McBride and longing out?
Yes, I am doing that.
Yeah.
Especially because I like Justin Fields so much. It's such an easy run back. I mean, dude, he's like Travis Kelce, like prime Travis Kelce. He gets double-digit targets every single week, and he's actually good. Like, he was the best receiving tight end to come out of college in a while. Like, it's not like this is just some fluke. Like he's like legit, arguably the best tight end in the NFL right now. And he's 5,700 against the Bears.
Oh, and all the numbers back him up too. This isn't like just like it's just a volume thing for him. I mean, the numbers bear out that he has been one of the best tight ends in the league. Like I think he's been like he's right there with like the top guys with the Laportas and TJ Hockenson. Like he has been phenomenal so far. This year, once they finally turned to him, which makes you wonder why it took them so long to finally unleash him the way they did, because it really shouldn't have taken this long for how well he's played. I get it. They've had some up and down quarterback play and stuff like that, but he's just been fantastic this year. And it's not a fluke. Like I said, this was a second round pick last year. So like, this isn't just some guy that's kind of come out of nowhere to be who he is. I mean, this is a pretty athletic tight end, as well. So, but as you look at him, I mean, you look at his numbers, I mean, and some of this is skewed because of like, in terms of like his target share and stuff like that is going to be a little bit lower because of routes run and all that stuff, because of route participation, because the first part of the year he wasn't being utilized. But right now, I mean, he is already at 66 catches, 712 yards right now, which is incredible. And because like I said, for the first half of the season, he wasn't even being utilized at all. And so, I mean, from weeks 1 through 7, he only had one game where he saw over 5 targets. And then from that point on, it went, once the Zach Ertz stuff happened, from week 8 on, 14, 5, 9, 7, 9, 9, and 11 targets. He's also seeing, he's also the preferred target inside the end zone as well. But he's also 2nd in yards per route run. He is 5th in target separation. He's 5th in yards per team pass attempt, 12th in red zone targets, 9th in deep targets. And again, he is 27th in route participation. Let's put it that way. Like it's, and that's how far back it's taken him. But he is already just weekly turning into the best tight end. And he's still probably cheaper than what he should be at $5,700.
Yeah, and I will say, I do think this is a week that you can play double tight end due to the lack of receiver value that we have. Because Ingram, like we said, is going to Ingram could very well take over, the number two wide receiver role this week behind Ridley with Zay Jones and Christian Kirk being out. And we've seen Ingram's flash the ceiling. He's flashed 25-point upside both last year and this year. And then also Njoku. Njoku has broken the slate multiple times over the last month playing with Joe Flacco. So I think both of those guys are absolutely in play as well for double tight ends this week. I don't think I'm going to mess with the cheap guys. I think you just play McBride and Njoku and Ingram because none of them are over 6K. I think you're just dumb if you start floating in like the 3K range this week.
Oh yeah, I mean McBride has he has a legitimate 20-point upside, and he's like the wide receiver. I think he's like wide receiver 18 or 19 this week in terms of pricing. You know, Like McBride, I think Hockenson is also well within that consideration because how involved he is as well. But Hockenson and then even Laporta, has been phenomenal coming off that 3-touchdown game. So I have no problem with playing double tight end this week. I think that is a way you could look to go and get a little bit different with these tight ends that you have on the slate. So in terms, is there any pay down options you have any interest in or no?
Nah, not this week. I don't.
I feel the same way. Like, there's nobody that stands out to me whatsoever. Like, you want to make an argument for, like, a Tyler Conklin or something or Logan Thomas, fine. But, like, it's not something that stands out to me at all. If Musgrave misses, Tyler Kraft, especially with all their other options they're missing, could end up being at $3,700. That could be another direction you could look at as well. But other than that, like, in terms of the cheapies, like, there's nobody that stands out to me whatsoever. So let's go ahead and move over to defenses. And where do you look at – who are we paying down for this week?
Minnesota, I like, if you're not playing that game. I mean, even if you are. I mean, they've been a good defense all year. They have 41 sacks on the year. They're playing at home, which they obviously tend to play better at home in that insanely loud environment. So I do think that the Vikings are interesting. I will also say if Green Bay is going to be without all those pieces, like no Jaden Reed, no Christian Watson, Carolina defense is min-price, even though they're pretty bad of a defensive unit. They only have 20 sacks this year, and they haven't scored double-digit points one single time. Only one single time they have. If now on the same on the same note, if Jacksonville is going to be without Trevor Lawrence, Tampa Bay is the third cheapest defense. They're at home, and they're another defense that has been they have been bad in terms of scoring points allowed, but they have been able to get after the quarterback at least because they have 40 sacks this year. So I think any of those three, I'm totally fine with.
Yeah, you pretty much took everything I was going to say. So all the guys I would have talked about. So that being said, let's just there's nothing else I think I really need to bring to the argument other than talking back the same talking points you just said. So let's go ahead and build a lineup. Where do you want to start with?
Let's go with Fields.
No argument there. All right, I'm going to go with DJ Moore.
And I'm going Trey McBride.
I'm going to go with Chuba Hubbard at $5,700.
This is already starting to look like what my main team is going to look like this week. Let's go Breece Hall.
All right, lock him in. So we got 46-25. Who do you want to play? What defense do you want to run in? Let's throw one in.
Let's plug in Tampa Bay for now.
All right, so at least $5,300 remaining. I'm gonna go with Justin Jefferson. Oh man, that makes us a little thin though.
Yeah, I had clicked him and Amon-Ra, and it puts us We can't do that.
What if we do? I was gonna say, what if we did like Laporta and the flex and run two tight ends and then do Jefferson, but we don't have enough of that either. It would leave 1,400 remaining.
I'm fine with playing Jefferson without a run back because Detroit can get their stuff can end up being spread out when it's all said and done. Like all of Gibbs, Monty, Amon-Ra, Reynolds, and all those guys can end up scoring once to where nobody crushes. Okay, so let's plug Agnew in.
Really that confident in him, huh?
They just don't have anybody else.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's just, I don't know. He worries me. But they've done it before. I mean, he's been a guy that they've had no problem targeting 6-7 times in a game.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, do you have is there anybody you like that's cheaper than Agnew? Because, I mean, we could go Brandon Cooks and then drop down Bucks D and get a 3K guy in. But I don't know that there is any 3K guys worth playing.
No, I was going to say we could probably play Dontavian Wicks would be the guy that I would look to play at $4,300 if we played Jamal Agnew.
Oh, that's perfect. I'm good with that.
So, okay. So if this team is Justin Fields, Chuba, Breece Hall, DJ Moore, Justin Jefferson, Agnew, McBride, Dontavian Wicks, and Bucks defense with $100 sitting on the table.
Looks good to me.
Yeah, I'm good with that. So, all right. Well, this weekend, this slate is going to be, I think it's going to be fun to kind of mess around with this weekend. 9-game slate here. You know, and I'm also going to spread some stuff out. Like, I'm not excited about the Saturday slate. I'll say that. Mainly because the Chargers look terrible. And, you know, the Bills, and then you have the Bengals and Steelers game with Mason Rudolph. Like, I'm not excited about that, but the Monday slate looks really good. Because on that slate, you're going to have the Chiefs, Raiders, Eagles, Giants, and then we're going to get 49ers, Ravens to close that out.
Eagles, so. Baby. Come on, Eagles.
Yeah. It's weird a Cowboys fan cheering for the Eagles.
If my best ball team advances, dude, I'm going to have Hurts and AJ Brown stack. So, like, nobody's going to have that pairing because nobody has it this week. So, and I've got Puka this week, too, and he just had a monster game.
Yeah. No.
There's only one guy in my pod that has Puka. So,
that's a phenomenal start, then.
Yeah. We love to see that.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so that Wednesday, it feels like the Thanksgiving slate, but better. It's like just the
way
the
games are. I love the Monday games.
Yeah. So I'm probably going to go a little bit lighter on the main slate on Sunday. So just so I can just go all in on the Wednesday slate. So
even the Saturday slate, I think is good. The 2-gamer.
It's rough, but I feel like everyone's just going to go all in on the Bills.
Yeah.
And watch fair. Easton Stick's going to come out and put up 300 yards and two, you know, and just ruin everybody's ideas. Or Mason Rudolph's going to have a game or something stupid's going to happen. But, I mean, I'll say it now that I'm not going to play it. And then I promise you I'm going to be putting in lineups on Saturday afternoon before the game starts just because I'm a degen and I can't. Just not have action in on a slate. So,
yeah.
Like, all week I was like, I don't think I'm going to play this Saints game. Mainly because, I mean, I like the game, but, like, mainly because everything was so top-heavy and it gets frustrating. So, I was like, you know what? I'm not going to play. Oh, never mind. I'm going to play it. That's what I do with everything. It doesn't matter. Like, the Sunday night game this week is Patriots and Broncos.
Yeah, no. I'm actually good on that.
I'm not. I say that, but those are the slates that I feel like I do the best at. All right, those are the ones always do really well.
Well, you let me know who you're going to play if you feel confident in that one.
Yeah, this is going to go all in.
I'll peek over at your paper and copy your answers.
TN coming in with the big $100 super chat. TN, appreciate you.
Holy.
Always the GOAT. TN is the GOAT. For sure, he is 100% the GOAT. Always has been, always will be in my mind.
Oh, I just saw Cody's comment, too. I was looking at chat now that you pulled TN's chat up. Cody had asked about, and not to cut you off on TN, because TN is the GOAT, but Cody asked about Malik Heath. I think Malik Heath is definitely also in play, too, in the same breath as Wicks. Heath should play the slot role, I would think, if Reed were to sit.
Yeah, I think he's 3K.
Yeah, so there's your 3K receiver that you could play. Instead of, like, what was it, Wicks and Agnew, you could go Cooks and Heath, and it's kind of the same thinking on that team we had.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't mind that call at all.
Yeah, but yeah, sorry. Not to interrupt. I just saw that comment and wanted to let thoughts in there before we signed off.
No, yeah, for sure. But, yeah, TN, he's been around. Like, we always joke around about it, but it's truth. He's been around since, like, the beginning. So he is 100% the GOAT. We always appreciate it, having TN around here. And hope he wins some money this weekend. He got knocked out of the playoffs, I think, last week. So he's switched to DFS. Or maybe he plays DFS all year. But yes, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the Christmas slates this weekend and all the football that we're going to get this weekend. I also hope everyone just has a good weekend, spend time with family, kids, friends, whatever. Stay safe and enjoy some Christmas this weekend. It's going to be fun, you know, Sunday, Monday, without having to work, hopefully, and just enjoy some time with some family. So that should be fun. Other than that, I don't think there's let's see. Tyler, I just asked a question. Jefferson, Pittman, Metcalf, Monty, start two wide receivers at a flex. I also have Ridley. It's Jefferson and Pittman. That's who I'm going with there. And a flex. That's all three. Oh, and with Monty included. I would play all three wide receivers, Tyler.
I would. Would you play? Yeah, I would play those three receivers as well with Ridley. I'd sit Monty there.
Yeah, I just don't love the spot for
Monty. Yeah, no, it's a tough matchup.
Yeah, and then Ridley. I would like Ridley a lot more if Trevor Lawrence was playing, but he's not.
And also if Zay Jones was in, which is weird to say, but it's just how the routes work.
I don't think they have a choice now. You know, like, they don't have anybody else.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Like, before, they still had Christian Kirk. So, like, that was why. Now they don't have any of them. So,
and it could be, you know, because Lawrence likes to spread the ball around. But, I mean, when a guy like Bethard comes in, a backup QB, like, a lot of times those guys just like to rely on the talented receiver that they have, regardless of whether he's open or not. Like, they'll throw interceptions targeting that guy. Because they don't give a fuck, you know. It's like I'm not going down targeting Parker Washington and Jamal Agnew. I'm going down targeting Calvin Ridley. At least that's the mentality I would have if I was a backup.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Oh, speaking of backups, this is a funny story, kind of. I have to go to South Carolina for a wedding next week, which is why I will not be on the show next Thursday. But the bride. That's getting married to my buddy. Her best friend is the wife of Tom Savage, who was backup, you know, quarterback for the Texans for a couple years. So I'll get to meet him, and I think we're playing some golf and stuff. So you said backup QB, and that made me think of that.
Is he even in the league anymore?
No. He was only in the league for a couple years.
Yeah, I don't even know what that dude's up to. I mean, he's not. He can't be that old. Yeah, he was drafted 2014. He's 33. No, so yeah, I mean, he's not that old. I mean, 33, NFL age. That's a little.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, he had a few years stint in NFL, mainly with the Texans.
Yeah, so. All right, we're almost to an hour. Again, TN, you're the absolute GOAT. Appreciate the super chat once again. Hope everybody listening has a great weekend. Let's win some money. If you haven't already, we are in, if you haven't already, we have a free Discord that you can join. It has DFS and everything else. Then you can tag us and whatever questions, but also has redraft, dynasty, everything else. You can jump in there, answer any questions, whatever you may have. We talk football all weekend. It's always popping in the chat. So that being said, be sure to hit the like, or be sure to, if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel or subscribed on your podcast listening source. You're listening to this, but have a good weekend. Have a good Christmas. Hope everybody gets everything they're looking for. Hope everybody gets, whether it's a fantasy championship, taking down a best ball tournament, or, you know, just having a good time with your family, whatever priority you see fit. Hope it all works out for you. So we'll see you very soon. Have a good weekend. You can tell me what to Bye. Do. You know who you're talking to. But you better get used to the way the war battles. I see what you got, inventions and ounces. But that's a break, boy. Yeah!
I'll treat you like you're a little man.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.
Save big.